O.J. Simpson has been through multiple phases in our cultural consciousness, from superstar to fallen hero. Most people think he's an unrepentant murderer, though polls split along racial lines. Now he faces charges for allegedly leading an armed robbery. Simpson was arrested in Las Vegas after he and several companions confronted sports memorabilia dealers. His version is that he was restoring the items to their rightful owner, himself. The arrest, the profanity-laced audio tape, the perp walk, the entire incident stirs old debates about celebrity, justice, race, and the guilt or innocence of O.J. Simpson. Do you think the cops have it in for Mr. Simpson? Do you still care? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org, and there's a conversation underway on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Earl Ofari Hutchinson is the author of Beyond O.J., Race, Sex, and Class Lessons for America. He covered both of the O.J. Simpson trials. He joins us on the phone from Los Angeles. Nice to have you with us today.
Yes, thank you very much.
And in protesting his innocence, Simpson said, look, I'm O.J. Simpson. How am I going to think that I'm going to rob anybody and get away with it? And at first glance, that's a statement that seems to make a lot of sense.
Well, it does. One would think that O.J. Simpson, of all people, whose name certainly is worldwide known, he's a household name, his face is everywhere. He's obviously, even since the trial of the century, so-called trial of the century, more than a decade ago, he's figured out a way to keep a high profile. So, and then on top of that, Las Vegas, I mean, of all cities where you're going to have some kind of incident, that would be the last city I would pick. So all of these things given, O.J.'s name, his reputation, where this happened, and certainly the seriousness of the charges guarantee one thing. This is going to, or this case is going to get maximum exposure, and so is O.J.
And the release of the audio tape, which many of us have heard in highly bleeped fashion from various websites, this doesn't do his case any good.
No, it's not, because what's happened already is when you listen to the audio tape, but even if the audio tape wasn't there, of course, that's almost the icing on the cake, the confirmation for many people who just simply say, look, anything that comes out of O.J.'s mouth is a lie. He's a cheater. He beat the criminal justice system. And, of course, in many minds, certainly the majority of public mind, O.J. Simpson is a murderer that got away. So now it's not too much of a leap of faith to think or imagination to think that O.J. Simpson is guilty of armed robbery. So even if that tape was not there, which certainly does not paint him in the best light through his own words, I think most people have already made up their mind. O.J.'s guilty.
Yeah, and on the other hand, what he has to say paints him as the victim again.
Well, and that's kind of the strange part of the O.J. saga. O.J. has always been very adept at painting himself as the poor, victimized individual. Now, during the criminal phase of the trial back in 1995 and also during the civil trial, over and over again we heard one thing. Is this case, the O.J. case, a case of a rush to judgment on the part of police, prosecutors, and also the public, too, and secondly, the great racial divide about O.J.
Right.
Simpson, and also celebrity justice, too. That's coming up again in Las Vegas. So it's interesting. All of the things, O.J. victim, O.J. victimizer, celebrity justice, race, rush to judgment, they're all coming together again in Las Vegas.
We're talking with Earl Ofari Hutchinson, author and political analyst and author of Beyond O.J., Race, Sex, and Class Lessons for America. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And the other thing you point out in your piece that was on Alternet is that, look, it's been a long time, 11 years since the civil case. If the cops are out to get O.J., they've been slow about it.
Well, how about glacial about it? You know, O.J. has gone just about anywhere he pleases. He's done pretty much what he wants. He certainly hasn't hibernated in the backwoods somewhere. He's been a very visible, high-profile individual. So it seems to me that if there was a sting operation to get O.J., if there was some anti-O.J. profile that police agencies use in many cities, then O.J. certainly would have gone down a long time ago. No, I think what we have in Las Vegas, unfortunately for O.J., wrong place, wrong time, wrong people that he went after, and certainly it looks like, we don't want to prejudge, but it looks like from all circumstances and evidence that essentially O.J. had some involvement in this case.
Well, let's get a caller on the line. This is Maggie. Maggie with us from St. Louis in Missouri.
Hi. I was just wondering if you thought we'd be able to actually find an unbiased jury to try him for this case as opposed to the case from 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Earl Afari Hutchinson?
Off the air.
All right, thanks very much for the call, Maggie.
I don't even think if you went to the far side of Mars, you would find an unbiased jury. By that, I mean some individuals, if life was there, that didn't have an opinion about the O.J. case. No, I think it's very, very remote, not to say it can't happen, but very remote that someone, given the huge exposure, not only from 10, 11 years ago, but also the current media exposure and media circus that's developing around the case, that someone, namely the general public at large, doesn't have an opinion about O.J. Simpson. And by the way, not a favorable opinion about O.J. Simpson.
There's another point that you raise in the piece is that, he did have the option if these sports memorabilia dealers had stuff that belonged to him or that he believes belonged to him. He could go to the police, and furthermore, I believe he's not unfamiliar with the civil courts. He could sue them.
Well, O.J.'s response to that was, I can't go to the police because, quote unquote, they haven't been fair to me. They haven't been favorable to me. In other words, flat out saying that essentially the police are not going to lift a finger to help me. So, I guess in a sense, from OJ's point of view, why go to the police if they're not going to do anything? But on the other hand, a prudent person would ask, okay, if this indeed, as you say, these items are yours, then why not go to the civil court? Why not file a lawsuit? Or if there's going to be some kind of dialogue with the memorabilia dealers, why not send an agent up there or a third party? Why are you there?
Yeah, and if you are there, why are you, at least allegedly, or your friends, carrying weapons?
Well, that's the other thing, too. Yeah. I mean, I don't know of any kind of genteel negotiations and dialogue, even when there's a dispute, where guns are drawn.
Yeah, let's see if we get Steve on the line. Steve's with us from West Palm Beach in Florida. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
What's the coincidence here that O.J.'s doing all this at the same time his book's coming out? And his friend just happens to have a tape recorder. I mean, aren't we just kind of putting O.J. back in the limelight again, giving him his 15 minutes of fame again?
Actually, I think it was one of the dealers who just happened to have a tape recorder.
And
I think the book is out, and O.J. did write it, the What If book, but all of the proceeds from that go to the Goldman family, as far as I know.
Right, but his kids still have licensing rights to that book. Isn't that correct?
Do you know about that, Earl Afari Hutchinson?
No, actually, no. The licensing rights, because of a court, actually there was a court ruling not too long ago in Santa Monica, essentially assigned all the rights to the Goldman and the Brown family. So actually, it's their property now. And by the way, because of the extent of the civil suit and judgment against O.J. Simpson, remember it was $33.5 million, which not a nickel has been paid. As a result of that, the Goldmans are saying, look, if it indeed is in fact the case that these items that O.J. says are his, if they are his, we want them too, and we're going to sell them.
Thanks very much for being with us. Appreciate your time today. Earl Afari Hutchinson is the author of Beyond O.J., Race, Sex, and Class Lessons for America. He was a media and trial commentator during both O.J. Simpson trials. He joined us today by phone from Los Angeles. The Federal Reserve has cut a key interest rate for the first time in 4 years. The half-point cut for the federal funds rate, the interest that banks charge each other, is double what many economists predicted. Stay tuned for further coverage of that later today on All Things Considered. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.